the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. Whatever happened to that LOLGIG song, or LOLG2G? And I am me, or whatever. Whatever. What was her name, even? Wasn't she from here?
Wasn't that song called I Am Me?
I don't know. It was some chick from Oregon or Silverton. I think
it was awesome.
That was purged in the great intercom unpleasantness, I think. This is the Teeny Others. And now entering the studio, sitting in the Teeny Others celebrity chair, our good friend Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio.
Playing? I thought you had the open.
No, let me just...
Here, I'll get that.
Hold on, let me...
Wait,
just,
I got it. Oh,
no.
Sorry, I got it.
And hello.
I love that.
Hi, intro. How are you?
Hello. This is big. I'm not going to blow this one.
All right, thank you. Oh, I found it again. No,
everyone's
I found it.
A comedian.
This is big. I'm not going to blow this one.
Yeah. I thought it was lost forever. But now. Scott Daly, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Have this cookie. You know. Tell me what you think of it.
It's a big bite taker out of it.
Yeah. Here, you can the part that I didn't bite. Right. There you go. Tell me what you think of that cookie from CBS. From CBS.
You really should be making fun of CBS cookies.
No, we didn't pay for them.
You know, it looks really dry, but it's not as dry as it looks.
It's not. See, I like my cookies kind of dry.
It's still kind of, yeah.
It feels a little undercooked.
I love icing, though, on cookies. That's my favorite. I just love that.
Okay.
I'll stop. That's
all right. What's up in your world?
Well, I wanted to come and talk about movies, but no, you've already done that today.
Well, no. Okay. Look, don't be snarky. Don't be an ass. All right.
No, we're just getting ready for your tirade.
All right, do you want to come in and do breaking news?
Oh, breaking news.
Speed racer.
All right, do we have headphones for Tim here? Let's give Tim the mic here. Sarah, can you keep the snuff watch?
Oh.
Thank you. We'll go to Tim Riley with a breaking snuff watch. Tim Riley with a breaking snuff watch.
Just received word. Movie star Jack Palance is dead.
That sucks.
Died in Hollywood. We don't know why. His family just released the information. He's had a gargantuan career. We don't have enough paper in the printer to print out everything.
Seriously, Tim just printed out his IMDb bio, and it's three pages, and ran out of paper.
One page of 11. So we ran out of... So he was born in 1919.
Well, their cause of death found.
Yep.
I mean, seriously.
So, who would like to expound on his career, Scott?
This is a little surprising, just because he's one of those guys you thought would live forever.
Well, you know, and
you
Jack
know,
Palance.
He's Jack Palance, man.
He's Jack Palance, and I mean, he gave me one of my great phrases that I use a lot, which is when somebody asks me, you know, about the, you know.
One arm push-ups?
No, well, not that. It's that great thing that I work in the conversation a lot. When Billy Crystal says, you know, hey, did you kill anybody today? They ain't over yet, you know. I mean, I hate to immediately be referring to City Slickers, but yeah. He's done so much more. But I mean, of course, well,
He
was in Batman. You know what? And this makes me sound both old and young at the same time. But I first came to know him in Ripley's Believe It or Not, which he hosted in the 80s.
Yep.
And even then, he was like 100 years old. But I mean, he's very, you know, he had a real presence and was very. You know,
and who could forget the classic pairing of Jack Palance and Chevy Chase in Cops and Robbers?
No, Jack Palance, one of those guys. That,
oh yeah,
you're right. He was such a tough guy.
He was.
He seemed. You can't close your eyes and picture him without putting him in like a fedora and a trench coat. I mean, he was like a tough guy that you just thought that guy was going to live forever.
Yeah, this really.
Please, someone send Rick an MP3 of "And Now We Dance."
He was
the Vandal.
He was in an episode of Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Really?
Yeah, Planet of the Slave Girls.
Planet of the Slave Girls.
Name of the episode.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
Totally. 1979.
Those were simpler times. When you could have an episode literally, unironically called "Planet of the Slave Girls."
It's a Buck Rogers, though. That's really too bad.
All right.
That's really too bad.
So,
here's
got the next 50 pages of his bio.
Here's the rest of it, Scott. He was, let's see here, he was 85 according to AP records, but his family gave his age as 87. He died at his home in Montecito.
It seems like year shaving is just sort of irrelevant at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a cause of death or is he just old?
He died of natural causes at his home in Montecito according to his family.
Damn. Well, there you go. Jack Palance, dead at 80-something.
87.
Yeah. Well, he died peacefully. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, he can't ask...
Montecito's a nice place to die.
Yeah.
That's their slogan.
We should rank a nice place to die. We should rank our favorite places to die. Well, there you go. Jack Palance, dead. Goddamn dead. Well, farewell, Jack Palance. Well, what are you going to do?
And he's so amusing.
He really, do you remember when he did the one-arm push-ups on the Academy Awards?
That was
one of the best moments ever.
I mean, how great is that?
I don't remember it, but I've seen the footage.
All right. There you go. Jack Palance.
I remember where I was.
Dead at 87. Hey, Scotty J, we're going to go ahead and do the pop culture face-off in a second, so please now to be taking callers 5 and 6. We probably only will need caller 5, but we'll take callers 5 and 6. 503-733-2970. We got second row seats. Harvey Korman. Well, we were supposed to do first row today, but I think we're going to end up doing that Monday because that first row is also... Front row seats are also backstage, meet and greet, and I got to think of some way that's
make it huge.
Some way that doesn't suck to give those away.
Well, still, second row is nothing to cost.
Second row is nothing to sneeze at. So we'll take callers 5 and 6 at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Yeah, I have to say I was a little offended that when that comedian guy called in, you said that was the best interview we ever had. When, in fact, we had Joshua Jackson this week, and that was the best interview
we ever
had.
Were
you just ass-kissing?
Yes.
Okay.
I was speaking in terms of deception and lies. No, and also
I'm like, come on, Joshua Jackson, and then the...
I was going to say,
overeater from Sex and the City.
Okay, but I was also going to say that, especially in terms of comedians, I've interviewed my share of comics enough to know that I typically don't like interviewing them. I don't like having comedians on. But in terms of comedians, I'd say he's probably, trying to think if there's anybody else really obvious that I'm overlooking, but I think he's probably the best comedian I've ever interviewed in terms of, A, that Kinison thing was genius, and B,
what about Don Rickles?
He was a cool... Yeah, but, I mean, I love Rickles, but that wasn't an especially great interview. And that's a lot of me because I was kind of starstruck, and he's like 100, and what are you going to do? Tim Conway was really good, but even with Tim Conway, and again, this is no disrespect to Tim Conway, but he is from a different generation, he's from another school, and Tim Conway is, you know, it's very much, and again, I say this with all due respect, but Tim Conway is from a different, he's from a different school of comedy in that he's never off. You know what I mean? Tim Conway, when he's interviewed, he's always on. He's always in character. And it can be a little frustrating for me because, it's all fine if they want to do the jokes and the shtick, but you kind of want to, you want to hear the real deal about who they are as a person and all that, not to be all corny about it. I mean, you know, have a real conversation, which is what that guy did a really great job at. What comedy club is he playing at? I forget what it's called, but you can go to ihatecomedians.com. That's his website, ihatecomedians.com.
And Scott, thank you again for getting us Joshua Jackson.
Oh, hey.
That was so exciting.
You interviewed him in his hotel room yesterday?
I interviewed him in his hotel room.
Was he naked?
Not naked.
English listening?
He just got out of the shower, though.
He just got out of the shower?
Bastard.
Really?
He's kind of wet still. His bed was unmade. His bag was right on the chair.
Were both pillows used?
Yes, both pillows look like had been used recently.
Mm.
He rolled around a lot.
Yeah, I bet. I don't doubt that. I would say you are correct in that assessment.
You know, I caught the tail end of the interview because after I was doing the interview.
Did you see any bodies plunge by the window while you were there?
I did not, actually.
Okay.
I kind of looked, though. I saw my viewers at the window. But no, he was a really, really nice guy, and he was a very smart guy, great interview. And, you know, I think the fact that we hung out with him after the night before kind of helped a little bit, because he's a little more comfortable
with
us.
Peeps.
And I got to say, Sarah, I kind of told him about you before the interview.
Oh, God, did you make me sound crazy?
No, I did not.
What did you say?
I said that Sarah was the reason he has the interview at the Rick Show.
Okay, no, that's a good one. That is true.
That's
the added advantage of being
true. I found out that Kristen from accounting, who thought that she was helping me out when he went He was on AM Northwest.
Sarah has pictures of you all over her bedroom.
That is what he was telling me about.
Oh, what did she say?
He said, I was doing a morning show this morning, and one of the employees there said, you better be nice to Sarah at the Rick Emerson show.
Why?
I don't know. It was so
weird.
She's like,
oh,
yeah. No, she said that I was a huge fan and that I'd been looking forward to it all week. I'm like, come on, throw a sister under a bus.
And she's desperate, too. Did I mention that? She's desperate.
Seriously. I'm like, I played it.
Crazy.
I played it so cool at the premiere. And then Kristen totally screwed me.
Oh,
Sarah,
God.
He was very flattered. I told him it was kind of like Joshua Jackson down the Rick Emerson show, and he goes, oh.
Okay, that doesn't kind of help, though. It's Joshua Jackson Day. Like, I'm going to give him the key to the city.
He liked it. Ask Jason. Oh, okay.
Now I'm the crazy girl.
No.
I played it really cool. I had Jason and Aaron from Vantage Point Photography with me to take photos, and they both concur that you do not come off as crazy.
Crazy.
I don't come off as crazy.
No, you didn't.
You hide your craziness well.
I bet he's telling you that right
crazy.
Now. No, she hid the crazy pretty well. I mean, she was able to hold it together and seem normal
for
a while.
It felt like he was more scared of what, apparently now I know it's
I guess she really stalked Michael Ian Black, though, man. That guy really...
I cannot believe you did that to me.
I was nice about it.
I didn't stalk him. I didn't even want to follow him. And you're like, Sarah, when is the one time in your life you're going to get to meet Michael Ian Black? So I followed him.
We made that very clear.
This
was a lie.
Checklist of things to do in your life.
I'm going to distract Sarah with this email. Rick, about raping Sarah's childhood. You should tell Sarah someone's doing a remake of Labyrinth starring Marilyn Manson and Hilary Duff.
That is a lie. They're lying. That's a joke.
I'm just reading the email.
Okay, yeah, that's just...
Someone is doing a remake of Labyrinth starring Marilyn Manson and Hilary Duff.
I'm not.
Let's look it up right now.
Fine.
I do not believe that to be true.
IMDb. Let's find out.
There's a great film.
IMDb. In Queens Boulevard.
You guys were talking about The Good German earlier with Clooney and... Yeah. Looks really good. Steven Soderbergh films, actually.
All right.
Excuse me.
Let's see.
It is not happening.
No,
there's Pan's Labyrinth coming out, but I do not believe there's a remake of Marilyn Manson.
All right. Well, it doesn't look like it's being remade. Okay, so there you go. Oh, wait.
No,
that's like a Mexican one. That's like,
there's one with an institutionalized woman with multiple personality syndrome is the one person who can reveal the identity of a serial killer. Coming out in 2008.
That's original.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. I just heard Jack Palance died, but I'm confused on his age. He is in my Deadpool right now, and I am 13 points behind. Please, if you could really let me know his age. Thanks. Well, it's either 85 or 87. He says 85. His family says 87. So
MSNBC says 87 as well.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're even there, dude.
Yeah, you split your difference there. All right, you ready to play Pop Culture Face-Off? Scott Daly?
I am.
All right, here's the deal.
Let's do it.
Let's welcome now to the...
Why,
oh, damn it.
Why do you do these things?
I love that.
Ken, so Burgess Meredith. Ken, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, brother? You ready to play Pop Culture Face-Off?
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is for Corman and Conway tickets. Second row, brother. Now, Sarah...
What?
Should Scotty be playing for or against the caller today?
Against.
All right. So here's the deal. Scott Dahl, and you're not allowed to throw it.
Okay.
Your honor as a man is here.
Right
there. Now, here's the thing. We will do an odd number of questions. Sarah will determine that. And we'll do it, actually, but because I'm feeling generous, Ken. Either you... Well, no, because I guess if Scotty's playing... Well, never mind. Forget what I was just going to say. Sorry, Ted, it's a dumb question. Skip that.
Calling Scott Daly Scotty.
Thank you. Did I call you Scotty?
Twice.
Yes.
Sorry. Thank you, sir. Anywho, so here's the thing. Scott Daly, it's because your name ends with a Y,
I'm contracting it. Sorry, I'm sorry.
You had to put an apostrophe there. Scott E. Just like, and then you can be like a VJ.
Yeah, that would be
with
cool.
Two E's at the end.
Yeah. And then you can star in a remake of Charlotte's Web. Here's the thing. You will be playing the Devil's Advocate. So if you win... He does not get to go, but you shouldn't feel bad about it, though, because then somebody else would play, and they might have a chance. So don't take it easy on me.
Sorry, Ken.
If I win, Ken, you will be going to see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman in the Farewell Tour, second row, next Friday.
Sweet.
All right, okay. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, for the win. All right.
What is the name of the autopilot in airplane?
Rick. Auto. O-T-T-O. That's yeah, correct. In your face. Oh. One from me, Rick Emerson.
I'm going to try and do film movies.
Okay.
Film movies.
I like them. Film movies.
I'm flustered now because I really thought Joshua Jackson and I got along, and now I just realized I was a creepy girl.
You were that.
Not a creepy girl, Sarah.
You got that eating food?
He was completely flattered. He really, really was.
Flattered.
He did seem to like you afterwards. I sensed a little something there.
Knock it off, Sarah Dillon.
Okay.
You're just fishing for compliments.
I am not fishing for compliments. Now I feel really insecure. I was feeling really good about it, and now I feel...
No, no, no. He
all open. Okay.
No, he wanted to stay.
What 1996 film...
Probably for me, though. I'm sorry. We'll go. I'm sorry. I'm just screwing with you.
What 1996 film starred George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino's Fugitive Brothers in Mexico?
That song.
Yes.
Oh, that's one for you, Scott.
Wait, how many does he have to get right? I thought he just had to get one.
No. That's not... That wasn't a rule.
Okay. What gift...
We're just doing an odd number.
What gift does Ralphie want for Christmas in a... Sorry. Scott, got it.
Red Ryder BB gun.
Okay.
That is correct.
He's stalking a thing until it's time.
That's one for you, Scott Dallas.
That's two for me.
I'm just saying in general, just that's one.
Okay, what Spike Lee film has a character named Flipper Purify?
Oh, Rick.
Scott.
School Days.
Wrong. Scott.
Oh, and Jungle Fever.
That's right.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I'm Spike Lee.
You are getting schooled by Scotty Daly.
Yeah. I hate you guys. All right.
How many is that for three?
Come on, Rick.
Three for me?
All right. Yeah, let's do three more.
No,
okay.
that's enough for me to win, theoretically.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Okay.
What body part is Roy Munson's character missing in Kingpin?
Rick. Scott. A hand.
That's correct.
That's for me, Rick Emmers. One more and I'm tied. Okay, we're doing two more here.
What American History X director unsuccessfully...
Rick, Tony Kay. That's one for me, Rick Emerson. All right. All right, it all comes down to this question. This is the final question.
Okay, wait, hang on.
You are cherry picking.
I am. Well, some of them are worse than others. I'm trying to get the good, right, interesting question.
Next one you see. Next one you see.
Okay.
Where was Rain Man allowed to drive slow?
What?
Scott.
What? Oh, no! I couldn't even understand what you were saying.
Where was Rain Man allowed to drive slow?
The driveway.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah!
In your face, Emerson.
Oh, wait. And so Scott was playing for the player, so he won.
I'm sorry, Ken.
No, he was playing against him.
No, he was the devil's advocate. He was playing against the player.
Oh, well, that's not what I meant. So
the important,
you get the ticket.
The important thing is that
you're
Rick Emerson.
No, Ken, rules. Rules are rules. Ken doesn't win. I'm sorry, Ken.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
I won!
You won.
I give.
All right, let's do it again, but now we'll have
you
stop playing for the player.
All right, Ken, thank you, sir.
We have to know who the better competitor
I'm
is.
Shut up! Thank you, Ken. I'm sorry, brother.
No problem.
Try not to hate me. All right.
Oh, this is a good one.
All right. Brian, hello.
Hey, guys.
All right, well, Ken's loss is your gain, sir. So, all right.
God.
Now, are we switching? Am I playing for the player now?
Yeah.
Because I suck?
No, all right. He's playing for the player. You're playing again.
All right, so here's the deal. If Scott wins...
This is actually interesting, because we should do it for everyone, like, what their specialty is. If we could do movies with Scott, TV...
It's only taken us 6 months to figure out how to do it to make it interesting. All right, Brian. Sarah's going to administer an odd number of questions. We should determine the number in advance. You want to say seven?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just got to be an odd number. Well, I don't want you to feel like I'm asking to keep going just so I can win. So you should pick the number of questions in advance.
Oh, no.
Five or seven, Sarah?
Seven.
Okay, so we'll say seven. I don't want you to feel like I'm going, let's do three more just to win. So here's the deal.
You would.
Because I would. I would cheat. So, Brian, if I win, you will go to see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman in the farewell performance from the second round.
No, Scott wins.
If I win.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're switching it.
Yes. So if Scott wins, you'll go to see them. If I win, you will not.
I'm so confused.
All right. Doesn't matter.
Too.
We'll
okay.
tell you if you've won or lost.
All right. This is...
Okay.
You guys
like
both
poker.
Know this one. It's just going to be effective. Who can get it out faster?
All right.
What was Bruce Willis's character name in Die Hard?
Rick. John McClane.
Mr.
McClane. I'll call that a tie.
That's a tie.
We should be in the wash.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's not
that
count that.
Count.
That was a warm-up question. Mr. McClane.
Oh.
I don't even...
Oh.
All right.
Phillips, London. I have two myself. Sorry.
Well, you get up on Die Hard. What do you expect?
I know, I'm moving forward. What daredevil nemesis can turn anything into a thrown weapon?
George
now
Bush.
I have a machine.
No. Well,
Bullseye?
No, I got nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing. Aaron is screaming at the radio. Tools!
Who was the first female director to make a film that grossed over $100 million?
Scott. Penny Marshall.
That's correct.
Oh, you son of a bitch. All right.
You go, Scott.
I'm going.
All right, yeah, thank you.
Oh, I'm going.
All right. What food item crawls across the kitchen counter in Poltergeist?
Rick, Scott. A steak.
That's correct.
One for me, Rick Emerson.
Go.
All right.
I was right at one.
I was right there.
One
off. That's easy. Who played Thelma and who played Louise?
Rick!
That was a tie.
No, it was Scott. I'll give it up. He had that one right.
All right. Thelma was Gina Davis. Louise was Susan Sarandon.
That is correct, sir.
One for you, Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Go, go, go.
Yeah, go, go, Scotty.
This is a good one. What are the three things to fear in the fire swamp?
Oh, Rick! Oh, dear. Lightning sand.
Yes.
Rodents of unusual size.
Yes.
And the fire.
But what would be the technical name of the fire?
Goddamn fire. It's fire.
I'm sorry, Rick. It's flame spurts.
Oh, that's stupid. It's goddamn fire.
No, you got rodents of unusual size. It would be unfair.
That is some... Okay. That is some crap is what that is. It's fire.
I think that's fair.
You just be quiet on the phone there, pal.
But the thing is, it's not a win for me, so...
No, it's fine. All right,
We'll do a TV one this time.
And be bitter about
it. Who is Talk Soup's second full-time host?
Scott. Greg Kinnear.
Second full-time host.
Hello?
Sorry.
God.
Okay, then, Mr.
Okay. You know who it is, don't
I don't
you?
Know who it is.
Oh, I have the hugest crush on himself. John Henson.
Yeah.
You got the skunk hair?
Kind of John Henson?
Why are there so many?
You have a crush on that guy?
Yeah.
He's weird looking.
Oh, there's something dreamy about him.
Okay. Go back to movies.
Okay. In May 2000, what sci-fi flop did the New York Times suggest may well turn out to be the worst movie of the century?
Scott, that was me! Battlefield Earth, bitches! One for me,
what's
Rick Emerson.
Score?
Two to two. This is hard.
Math is hard.
I'm sure this is gripping for the audience, too.
I'm sure it's bad.
The audience who can't win anything, they have nothing at stake.
All right.
Ready?
Something was talking about.
Moving on now.
Which Sex and the City actress starred as Sunshine, the hippie teen, in Little Darlings?
Scott. Kim Cattrall.
Wrong.
Really? Little Darlings. I only know, what's her name? Tatum O'Neill. I got nothing.
Okay, it was Cynthia Nixon.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're tied at two.
It's a Sex and the City question. Come on.
We're tied at two each. So you
all right, this is a movie you guys like.
All right.
In The Shawshank Redemption. What actress is on the poster covering it?
Scott
got it first. Rita Hayworth.
Oh. No!
Raquel Welch.
Yes.
Bam! Yeah!
Okay, I didn't hear the whole question.
It doesn't matter. You rang
the
in.
The name of the book.
You rang in. Right. You are a loser,
no.
Scott Down.
Okay, let's stop. Okay.
Okay, we've got two more. We should do two more, and that's it, because that would theoretically let him win.
All right. What kind of adult suburban party leads to infidelity in the ice storm?
Oh, did I get it, or did Rick get it? Oh, it's a swinging party. Keys in a basket or keys in a bowl.
Key party.
I can't say fire, and he can say key swinging thing with the way to swing, mister.
That's correct.
Son of a bitch. Why don't you just keep it to yourself, Brian, huh?
Rick
is just a little bitter.
For the love
of
God. All right. One more. This is it. If Scott gets this, then Brian goes to see Tim Conway.
Oh, please.
Second row.
What publication is Sid Hudgens, the publisher, photographer, and writer for in LA Confidential?
Scott.
Hush.
That's correct!
Damn you!
Yeah.
All right, Brian. My humiliating loss is your victory, sir.
That was hard.
That was a long, hard road out of hell right there.
Oh, my God.
All right, Brian, you are going to see Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, their farewell show from the second row, sir.
Oh, my dreams have finally all come to pass.
God bless
you, sir. I'm glad you contribute,
thank
sir.
You. God bless you, Brian. We'll put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. I'm all worn out.
He schooled you.
Ooh, he schooled me. I got to get points for knowing the rodents of unusual, and it was lightning sand.
That was impressive.
Flame spurts.
You shut up. Back after this, Rick Emerson Radio Show. Like us at 306, by the way. You stay right there. Emerson Radio Program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our show. Don't forget the Timnasium tomorrow. That's Tim's.
Oh, let me give it to me.
New York Times, yeah. Don't forget Timnasium tomorrow, 4 to 6, right here on this very fine radio station. I'm here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Rick, I have a question for Scott. Pleased to be speaking about Casino Royale. I just bought my ticket to see it on the 21st. I'm a big Bond fan, Roger Moore being my favorite. Has he seen it? And thoughts? Burn in Beaverton.
I heard it's actually getting decent reviews.
I heard it's the best since Connery.
Screening hasn't happened yet, and it will be next week. I'll talk about it next week. However, it's getting rave reviews in England, and the British press are raving about it, which it says a lot, because the British press, one, two, it's Bond. So, yeah, and Daniel Craig is the new Bond this time around, and I personally think it looks great.
He's great. Well, he was great in Munich.
He was outstanding in Munich, and I think I like the style of this film. It kind of goes back to the basics, kind of how Bond became a 00, and I'm really excited for it. It looks really, really good. So, have not seen it yet, but when I come this time next week, I'll have a full review of the film.
Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? Well, first of all, before I forget about it, what's coming up on FilmFeverRadio.com?
FilmFeverRadio, today, it'll be posted later on this week. We are talking about, well, a whole lot of nothing, but that's not true. We're talking about a couple things. One, I got a press release this week. Summer 2008, live action Speed Racer.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So,
yeah, I mentioned to everybody that you'd sent me an email the morning. This morning that was screaming.
And it was now, I'm so angry about this.
Now, why? See, here's the thing. Okay, go ahead.
All right. First of all, Speed Racer is let's talk about raping childhoods. I love Speed Racer when I was a kid.
Let's spend hours.
When I was a kid, Speed Racer was my thing. I totally dug Speed Racer. I still do. Watching it, if I flip through the channels and see it on, I'm like, yeah, Speed Racer. But the Wachowski brothers are doing it, and produced by Joel Silver.
But it's a great pedigree.
It's going to be a big special effects nightmare. They're gonna take special effects and they're gonna just download it with us. The Mach 5 is going to be this big souped up, amazing beast, and it's supposed to be a race car, and it's going to be much more than that. I know it is. There's going to be sponsors all over it. There's going to be a ton of bullets, you know, bullet time photography. It's just going to be a big special effect mess, and it's going to really, really upset me.
I think that ship has already sailed.
Well, about a year ago, there's a screenwriter here who lives here in Portland. His name is Mike Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, that was awkward. I met him at the movies that one time with you.
Finding Forrester thing.
And that was like, I'm standing like 10 feet away, coincidentally going, yeah, Finding Forrester. Well, that sucked. That was ass. And then I walk over and he just goes, I'd like you to meet Mike Rich. And I'm like,
hello there.
Yeah.
Well, he actually went to L.A. about a year ago to meet with Vince Vaughn, because Vince Vaughn wanted to be Racer X, and he wanted to produce the film. At first, of all, the idea of Vince Vaughn's Racer X is a great idea. I think it's perfect.
So you're not opposed to the idea of a Speed Racer movie in theory?
No, I'm not. I'm opposed to his big, overblown special effects nightmare. Because I know he's got the Wachowski brothers doing it. They did Matrix, and that's the big thing. It's their first big film since the Matrix trilogy. And it's just going to be ugly. I mean, you might as well slap Michael Bay's name on it, too. There's no casting has been announced yet, but it's going to be written and directed by the Wachowski brothers. That. And also we talk about the probably the best DVD release of this year next to the Reservoir Dogs one. This week they just released the 20th anniversary of Transformers, and it's a 2-disc set.
With a fan commentary. It's
fantastic.
Literally fantastic.
and it's got the whole thing is completely remastered. The animation is just beautiful. It's crystal clear.
Excellent.
You know, Orson Welles, Leonard Nimoy, Judd Nelson. It's
Orson Welles' last performance.
That's right.
Hey, Sarah, we got like what, 7 minutes?
At the planet.
6 minutes, something like that.
Yes.
I'm really torn about this. I'm really torn about whether or not to try to squeeze in this mini disc that you've got in there right now with the creepiest song ever. And I wonder if it's just going to be too much of a weird.
It might be a weird note to go out
just
on.
Just a weird tag to go out on it. I just don't even. Okay, well then I can always read this. Let me see. We're in that awkward place where we got like 3 minutes left. So what I'll do is I'll just get to some of these smaller stories.
I got an idea. Why don't you and Sarah get in a taxi cab and try to finish our show?
That was funny. That was genius radio is what that was.
Sure.
Boy, it was. And then how weird that Todd the Corpse pulled up right next to us in traffic.
Weird.
Bizarre is that. All right. Well, I guess I shouldn't. But I'm just going to have to eat it then, because I had I was getting ready to play this the creepiest song ever to avoid push-ups, and that's just now not going to happen. Borat. Have you seen Borat?
No, I tried to go last weekend. I couldn't get tickets. So it was sold out.
Two nights in a row, it looks
sold out. $36 million. And you know that thing cost more than one or two to make.
And that was only at 800 screens, as opposed to Santa Claus 3, which was. Now, by the way, since you were kvetching about us going through the fall movie preview without you. you.
Yes.
Would you like to comment on anything else?
Yeah,
anything
I would.
Coming up?
I would. I really am looking forward to that Will Ferrell film that you're talking about.
That looks
about.
Really good. Now, it's really, not a Charlie really Kaufman movie.
No, it's not. It sure sounds like one, though.
Doesn't that seem a lot like good. A Charlie Kaufman
yeah.
script?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
You're also talking about The Good German, which looks outstanding. It's a Steven Soderbergh film with Clooney, and I believe Matt Damon is in it as well.
Matt Damon! Well, I have to. It's a law, baby.
And you know what? The one that I'm looking forward to the absolute most is For Your Consideration. Christopher Guest and his group return again for another film, this time about a filmmaker and actors. They make a little tiny independent film, and there's buzz that it's going to be nominated for an Oscar. And you get Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hare, Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, Dave McKean. You get all these guys together, and it's comedy gold, and so I'm really excited for Your Consideration. So this is and the new Bond film I'm looking forward to a lot. So some good stuff coming
and this
up.
By the way, this new Bond film is a prequel, right?
It is a prequel. It's the film where he
gets his license
gets
to kill.
His double O license.
That's what people, and the double O is the license to kill. That's
right.
What it means.
Right.
Okay, let me just read a couple of these really quickly, and then we'll talk to mailman Chris here. I wanted to make sure that some of this got there, because otherwise these stories are just going to be dead over the weekend. Top 10 cities for beer lovers came out. Top 10 cities for beer lovers. The one of only two American cities, Portland, Oregon, baby.
Nice.
Number one, Amsterdam. Number two, Berlin. Number three, which is in Belgium. We rock Belgium. Burlington, Vermont. Go figure.
Vermont.
Dublin, Mexico City, Montreal, Portland, Oregon. Right here. So it's in Portland. There are plenty.
What number?
Number eight. Out of the top ten in the world, we are the eighth greatest beer city in the world. In your face.
Those of you not us. That's a badge of honor.
It's nice. Yeah, the motherlode of American microbrews. And they talk about Widmer and the blah, 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 blah. Other popular draws are Gas House with the Cherry
Henry Reinhardt.
No,
oh, I'm sorry.
Portland's. No, I just... and then followed by Prague and Sapporo, which is that Japanese place.
Oh, I like that place.
All right. This isn't the worst story ever, but I did want to read this really quickly, and then I'll do this Shatner thing, and then we'll talk to mailman Chris. I just wanted to read... This is just a little pick-me-up. A little something to put a smile on your face as you go through the weekend. A little something whenever life has you down, whenever things aren't going your way. Whenever
the say starring in Charlotte's Web.
No. Whenever the crew is up against it and the brakes are beating the boys, I want you to be glad that you are not this family. An Ottawa County family has learned the hard way that getting behind a passenger bus on an interstate highway can be dangerous to one's health. Robert and Angela Stokes of Greytown are suing Greyhound Lines Incorporated over a load of human waste.
Oh.
One of its buses released all over their sport utility vehicle as they were on I-5 on a spring day. The waste from the bus's sanitary tank went through the wide open windows and sunroof of their Ford Explorer.
Was Dave Matthews on the bus anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Drenching the occupants, including their son and daughter, with urine, feces.
Oh.
This is the most interesting thing. Listen to the way they write this. Drenched, and what a great word that is.
Okay, we heard it.
Drenched, nay, saturated with urine, feces, toilet paper, and human waste. Now,
you know what that is.
No, I don't.
I was hoping that you did so that we could move on from the story.
That's like when somebody uses a sexual euphemism you don't understand, and they go, you know, all the pineapple stream. And you're like, oh, yeah, pineapple, Wenatchee, yeah. No, I don't.
I thought...
It seems like urine and feces kind of covers it.
Thank you.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Urine, feces, toilet paper, and... Human waste.
Urine feces.
Urine feces. According to a police report, they were merging when they got wedged in traffic behind the bus. The bus, and this is how it's written, the Greyhound then dumped its load. The client, the attorney said, and I'm quoting now, "What can you do?" said Robert Bryce. Mr. Bryce said the Stokes vehicle was declared a total loss because the... fecal stench could not be removed, even though the interior was repeatedly steam cleaned.
You said this is where on I-5 was this?
I don't know. I guess there's no safe stretch of I-5. There you go.
That's awful.
All right. And finally, turning to Star Trek, They asked William Shatner, in which he talks about the upcoming Star Trek 11 and the rumored new and younger Kirk. Here's some excerpts from the interview. Have you been asked to appear in the movie? Shatner. I had a meeting with them. They are busy writing, so I don't know how it will come out. The rumor mill keeps churning out reports the next Star Trek film will have a young Kirk. How do you feel about it? It's not so much the role, it's the word younger. What characteristic would you want to see in an actor taking on the role of Captain Kirk? Shatner. He's got to be handsome. He's got to be athletic, rich, funny. He's got to get the girl. The sort of things I do every day. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There you go. We'll go out on a Shatner.
Sweet.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hustlin' is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, it all went downhill this week, didn't it, at the end? Doing so well this week.
What are you talking about? Oh, in terms of getting to things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got feces and Shatner.
You know, and if you hadn't prefaced that story with, this isn't the worst story ever, I would have counted it. But you blew that one.
You don't even know about the guy who got who had a colon scorching. Well, I'll get to that.
Carl Rove YouTube story, and Scott's there.
That's it. Okay. Where am I at?
No story ever. No Whoopi in the morning. No creepiest song. And absolutely nothing about speaking out with a man. That will put you at 42.
42. That's almost worth it, though, just to be at 42 for a day.
Yeah. Hey, do you think that Marissa Tomei is going to speak at Jack Palance? Because she owes her Oscar to
Mr. Tomei. Enjoy your weekend, brother.
Absolutely. Happy Veterans Day to everyone and all the veterans out there.
Absolutely.
For your service.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. Mailman Chris. Indeed. Happy Veterans Day from all of us at the Rick Emerson Show. To all y'all. Scott Daly. Find him at filmfeverradio.com. We want to thank Lisa Goddard. Am I out of time? Well, hell. Insert the rest of it here. You know it. See you Monday. Bye.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?